game that you haven't already seen or all the
Yeah, you know, one of the things you really work hard at the spring game is starting with pregame meal. You know, how you go about your business at pregame meal, how we're going to go through all of that, how we act in the training room, how we want the mood and everything in the locker room, how we go about what we call our clap session. So you really work on it. It's our one time to practice. We're working on how you want to prepare for the game before kickoff even starts. So that's a big part of it. A lot of times in spring football, you know, the coaches are out on the field, and so this is a great time to get almost everybody off the field. So the players are out there by themselves. They need to communicate and get everything done. And it's another opportunity for them to compete and work on the depth chart. You know, it's the players that set the depth chart, and this gives them a number of plays to show what they can do out on the field. So I'm hoping we have a great crowd, because I think it's good for our players. You know, you go 14 days of practicing, and now you get to go out in front of a crowd again, and it certainly elevates your game. There's no question about that.
Traditionally, have you seen much movement in the depth chart from a spring game?
Yeah, actually, yeah. You know, it's always one of those things. You know, all winter long, what we do is we lift weights, we condition, we're working for that week of our testing. And you see who goes out and maxes out real well and lifts the better than they ever have, maybe makes a jump they didn't even know they could make. And that's what we're trying to do with the spring game, is we put all this work into it. Now it's your one time to go out and put on a show, and you want to have your best performance to date. That's what we always talk about, is go out there and have your best performance to date. So I think it'll be fun.
Bobby, how do you do this?
Yeah, we're going to split it up like we did a year ago. So we'll have the ones in red, the twos in white. And, you know, yesterday we had a good practice. We went hard. We had live tackling and some hard work at the second half of practice. Ones versus ones, and it was very competitive and a lot of fun. So this will be a good way to do it, I think.
Do you release a spring depth chart? And if so, are there a lot of ores on that?
There were a lot of ores last year. Yeah. I'm hoping we don't have to have all those ores this fall. But I don't think we have released a spring depth chart, have we?
We'll do a
post-spring
one.
Post-spring one? Okay. Yeah. If you want me to put some ores in there, just holler at me. I know how to do it. No, you don't want to be putting ores in there, honestly. We like to, like, say, okay, this is our starting guys, this is our backup, every once in a while. But, you know, a year ago, we didn't even know guys, hardly, so you had to put a lot of ores in there.
In that regards, how much further along are you than you were this time last year, as far as the program and the pieces that you do have?
Yeah, it's hard to measure how much further, but we're definitely ahead of where we were a year ago. When you look at the offensive line a year ago, Jaron Christian and Kenny Thomas started the first game of the year. When you look at the Clemson game, every receiver out there were freshmen or redshirt freshmen, because Quick and Staples were injured. So there's definitely ahead of where we were a year ago. Quarterback spot, I feel like we know Lamar's the starter, and Kyle's the backup, and Reggie will catch the ball and run with the ball. So we know a lot more about, you know, our weapons and how to use them offensively. Defensively, you know, obviously we're way ahead in the secondary than we were a year ago, because we didn't really have a clue on who would be the starters. Now we have everybody back and good competition. You know, some of the young corners are performing well and giving us good competition. Still think we have some work to do with our defensive front. You know, it's hard to replace a Sheldon Rankins, who, you know, caused havoc every play because he was an expert at the knowledge of the game and a great technician. So we're not quite there yet, but we'll have to probably replace his productivity with a couple of guys.
Two new coaches, five coaches in different roles. How has that gone during the spring?
It's been great, really. I've been excited about it. You know, I think when you look in the secondary, Keith Hayward and Court Dennison are doing a really nice job. Keith's brought in some different techniques and fundamentals that he believes in and that our guys are executing and utilizing. It's been great to get Lonnie in here. You know, we've added some different plays and different things to the offense because of his knowledge of what they've done well. And his expertise at coaching the receivers has really shown up. It's good to have Nick at the quarterback spot. You know, it's something that he's been around it forever and executed in the offense and been in the press box. And, you know, it's been fun to see. And I think he's got a good time to help develop those quarterbacks because they've been in the program too. So it's good continuity there.
We got a full-fledged kicking game tomorrow night.
No, what we'll do is we'll kick PATs and field goals, and then when we punt, it won't be a live rush. We'll just punt to change field position, and we won't do any kickoffs or kickoff returns at all. So just basically trying to get the field goal and PAT work.
Lamar said he's improved. He felt like he's improved his decision-making. Have you seen that in the spring?
Definitely. You know, we've been really harping him on two things. Number one is every play you have a decision to make. And we've got to start getting that decision grade up over 90% in a game. Because if you get over 90% in your decision making, most of the time we win that game. So he's worked hard on that. He's done a nice job of it, you know, specifically in the scrimmages, which is when you want to see it show up. He's got to concentrate a little bit more in practice at times. And you know, he's an emotional kid, so sometimes his concentration has fluctuated after a big play as much as after a poor play. And I think that's – some guys need to learn that. Some guys, it's really hard when they make a mistake. They throw an interception, they get down, and how do they do the next five plays? Sometimes for Lamar, it makes an exceptional play, and, you know, he's excitable. He gets on the sideline, talks to his buddies, and all of a sudden his concentration – takes a little while to get it back, so we'll mature and learn on that. But he's really done a nice job of understanding, you know, what the progressions are, and then making his decisions based off of that. Not making a decision prior to looking at the coverage.
Nick said one of the things that makes Lamar special is his wrist snap, not how quickly he pushes the ball out. Why is that important, and who does that remind you of? Any quarterbacks that?
That's funny because at practice last night was Jake Plummer. Jake was here and came to practice, and then I met with him this morning on a couple of things. And, you know, Jake's this little skinny guy. When I recruited him, he was 156 pounds. And I thought, man, I wasted my whole day as he walked across the hall to introduce himself to me. But then I shook his hand, and when I shook his hand, he completely engulfed my hand. I said, well, maybe I didn't waste my whole day. But I've always believed that arm strength is a myth, that what it really is your ability to snap your wrist and your fingers, and that's where you get most of your velocity from. And when you watched video of Jake as a junior in high school when I was recruiting him, he used to always say, boy, that ball really comes out of his hand. It really comes out of his hand. And it was basically his ability to snap his wrist. That's really what Lamar has. He has the ability to really snap his wrist, get the velocity based on a quick release. And he's made some throws this spring that you go, wow, we're getting really close to what we want. And his timing's better because of his decision making, one, but his ability to snap his wrist and get the velocity that you need.
Coach, given that most of your players are coming from out of state, do you think that the no longer relevant satellite camps may have been able to benefit your program if you were to hold one?
Yeah, you know, I never even thought about that. We didn't travel to do the satellite camps. And what we try to do, the number one thing that we try to do here is get players to Louisville, get them on our campus. You know, we utilize some of the small college programs that can come in and help coach, and they get an opportunity to see different guys and high school coaches. But again, the number one thing for us was to get them here on our campus, and we work hard on that in spring. Get them to spring practice, the junior days, and the summer camp.
With so many weapons in a spring game, how do you game plan or map out on you want to get this guy so many touches, or do you do that, or you just kind of treat it like a game in situation?
Well, we do that in games. You know, know, that's kind of how I've always felt like the way to call a game is not, oh, this is a great play.
Right.
It's like, okay, I need to get the ball to Jody. He's a real playmaker. I thought I'd get a better laugh than that.
They know I am.
But that's how, kind of how you call a game is, hey, right. I need to get the ball to Reggie.
But wait, do you do it different, though, in a spring game? Do you do it different to see how a guy might?
I don't know how to do it different. That's the only way I know how to call a game is to say, okay, you know, how are we going to get the ball in Reggie's hands? How are we going to get the ball to Hikatini, you know? And then, obviously, the quarterback has to be able to go through a progression. But most of the time I'm calling a play for a specific reason based on our personnel.
Sounds an awful lot like feed the studs. Do you remember that phrasing on your
movie? Yes, baby. Yeah, yes.
You still use that?
Definitely. Yeah, when we script our plays, you know, you go and put the plays on the board, and then you go back through them and say, okay, this play should get into 23's hands or 18's hands. This play should go to 7. This play, 8 might probably be running it, you know, so you, hey, wait a second now. We better get quick in touch here in the first series, you know, and so you kind of go through it, everything based on feed the studs.
After watching 14 practices, how has number 7 evolved as one of those studs? And how many times, you know, how do you get the ball in his hands enough?
Yeah, I mean, he's a real playmaker. His ability to run the ball, catch it out of the backfield, catch it as a wide receiver, he just keeps getting better. So it's fun to have that, have him back there and see the different ways we can utilize him.
Have you got a certain plan for him, a certain position he's going to focus
on? We're working at it. You know, the last week and a half, he's focused more at the receiver spot,
right,
and the ability to motion back in the backfield or do some of the run game in the backfield, passing game in the backfield. But we felt like he, number one, needed to take more reps at receiver to be in better shape. You know, it's amazing how much receivers run compared to quarterbacks, and he's hurting a little bit right now. You know, he understands how much more it is. You know, quick, we monitor our guys. They got these new devices, GPS things you can put in their shoulder pads, and you know how much they run, who ran full speed, who didn't run full speed. You know, James Quick, man, he runs more than anybody else on the whole team. He takes more reps, goes full speed. And Reggie's finding out receivers a little different than quarterback. We always know that because during the season we condition our quarterbacks after practice, and we don't usually condition, you know, the other players because they get it during the practice.
With number 8, that's an easy stud to beat when he touches the ball on every play. I mean, what kind of freedom will he have this year? Is it one of those things where he has freedom to make a play based off his judgment until he makes those mistakes? Or how do you see that going with you giving Lamar, you know, room to operate with his offense?
He's got room to have the freedom to execute the offense the way we want it done. That's a lot of freedom.
One more question.
Bobby, just with back to your contract, what did you think when Tom approached you about that? Were you surprised that he was wanting to do that? Was that something you would hope that he would approach you about? Or
I was really excited about it. It wasn't something I was thinking or something that I felt was, you know, but I was just having a conversation with him, and he said, oh, yeah, and I'm going to get your deal redone too. And I said, okay. And he said, I'll just call Dave. So it's basically been him and Dave on the conversations with it. I've truly just been focusing on spring ball and worrying about, you know, that and our depth chart and getting guys better. So it's been really a easy thing for me because I really wasn't involved in a whole lot.
What's it mean to you, or what's it kind of say about your commitment to being here for?
Well, this is where I want to be. This is the place I want to finish my career, and I think everybody sees that now. Someone was saying, I think it was Rocco, was saying, you know, this thing runs out, you're 62 years old, what are you going to do then? I said, well, I hope I get another one, you know, so I can't believe it. I remember when I took the job, I think I was 41 when I first took the job, so I'll be in good health, fired up, ready to go 7 years from now.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.